Mr. Barker, Reel 2. We were talking about your time at Meinie Barracks, Colchester, and your basic training, probably with the Essex, but yeah. certainly with the East Anglian Brigade anyway. And we got to the point we were discussing the instructors. What about the officers? Did you see much of your officers?
No, I don't think we did. I can't remember his name. I can't remember any officer. There was a sergeant major, as the usual thing, but I can't even remember him.
Now, how long were you there for? This is your basic training.
We were there 6 weeks.
And in that time, you hadn't had... This wasn't any signalling or anything
like that? No, nothing to do with signals. We didn't even know what regiment we were going to.
Do you remember the passing out parade? Or were you assessed at any way at the end of it?
I can't remember anything. Any tests? I can't remember... We did have education classes.
Tell us about them then.
But I can't remember what it was. But we did have education classes. But I can't remember anything about them.
So anything about the passing out?
I can't remember the passing out at all. That was...
The next stage then?
Well, the next stage was 10 weeks of... what do they call that? Next 10 weeks training.
Continuation training.
That was
at the same place.
Which was similar training, to be quite honest.
In what way?
Well, I thinking back, I think that the 6 weeks basic is the basic, and I can only imagine that the 10 weeks continuation is because they knew we were going to an infantry regiment, and it was training to go to an infantry regiment. That's the only reason I can think of.
So it's just more of the same?
More of the same.
Any signalling in now?
No signal at all. No suggestion of signalling at all. None whatsoever.
And that would take you through to about January 51, would it?
Roughly, yeah. That was 4 months, September. Yeah, it would be, yeah, January. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And anything happened in that time, or anything that stands out?
Can't remember anything unusual at all. It's more of the same. Remember, my old dad, we went home most weekends, and my old dad used to give me 10 shillings to get back on the train.
Were you very short of money? How far did your pay go? Tell us about
your pay. Oh, we only had 19 shillings a week. It was nothing. And you could spend half of that going home the weekend. We couldn't go out. We hardly had any money.
What would you spend that 19 bob on?
On beer, mostly me, because I was brought up in a pub. And I'm sure I didn't smoke then. Couldn't afford it. Couldn't afford to smoke, and I wasn't interested in smoking. I'd seen enough smoke.
You'd spend it basically on beer, yeah.
More or less, yeah.
How much would you drink, on average?
I'm sorry. I used to drink beer, and I think beer was about 1 and 4 pence a pint then, and cigarettes were 4 pence for 10, the little Woodbine packets. And then there was a lot of senior service, and I'll tell you, there was very, very few tip cigarettes then.
So the thing is, your 19 bob didn't allow you to drink much.
No, not at all. Well, with a few drinks and the train home, that was about it. You know, we just didn't have any money. The first 14 days when we were on basic, so I had to go back to basic, we were confined to barracks, which was a bit boring, which was a bit hard to take, but we did it. We just didn't have the means to enjoy ourselves, quite frankly.
So when it came round to about January, what happened then?
Well, then they said I was going to join the Royal Norfolks.
Now, how did you feel about being posted to the Royal Norfolks?
Well, I mean, the Royal Norfolks, to me, I just didn't know who they were anyway. You know, they were just an infantry regiment. The only thing I knew about Norfolk was that my old mum had a caravan there at Yarmouth. And I said, you're going to the Norfolks? You could either go to the Norfolks... The Essex or the Beds, I think it was the Beds and Arts. And then I went to Dover Castle.
And when did you join them? Would that be January?
Yeah, about January time, yeah. We went to Dover Castle, which was a lovely posting, it really was. In the actual, the headquarters of the regiment was in the actual tower of the castle, but we were billeted in a brick building at the side of the castle, but we could see France from where we were. And we did a lot of educational training there. And
tell us a bit more about the barracks, because they're quite intricate, because they've got tunnels and everything.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Obviously,
we had to walk through... When we used to come home from weekends, we used to get a train, I think it was London Bridge, get the train down to Dover, get there about, oh, ever so late, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, walk through the town, up the hill into the castle, through a tunnel, through the castle, down and then into our building. And there was lots of tunnels, and there's, I've since visited it, and the tunnels are there where, funny enough, there's a telephone exchange with the old switchboards, which were used during the war, which were exactly the same as what we had in Korea, which I also later used in the police force. You know, the old-fashioned switchboards. And they're still there. Then, of course, we'd be on parade at, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Now, which company were you put in when you
joined
them?
I was put in headquarters company, signal section.
Now, how come when you'd had no training as a signaller?
Well, I don't know. I only assume that my education, considering the men I was with, my education was good enough for me to be a signaller. Because you did need to know a little bit what was good, you know, you had to have a bit about you.
Tell me about your signals training then, because they'd have to start you from scratch.
Oh, they started us from scratch,
you'd,
yeah.
That's mainly what you're doing, I suppose.
They taught us, Corporal Roberts was our main tutor, who got killed the first week we was in Korea.
Now tell me about your training. How did this start, your training as a signaller?
Well, it's difficult to remember. I know we learnt the Morse code.
How?
Well, just had to learn dot, dot, dash, and then we learnt the...
How difficult did you find that? Because that
was a little bit harder, but then we learnt the, what do they call it? A Alpha, B Bravo, D Delta. We learnt that. I can remember that to this day. I still can remember it, but they changed that later on because of the European thing, because the police one had to change.
So that's the sort of...
Phonetic alphabet, that's it, phonetic alphabet. They taught us that, and then... But I can't remember...
What about the wireless? You must have trained on the wireless.
Oh, yeah, they taught us about the sets. I can't remember what they were called. There was a big set we had on our backs, but I remember they didn't sort of transmit very far, only 3, 4, 5 miles, not very far.
And what were the sets like? Can you describe how you used them?
Well, there was a big, sort of two big, you could say like cornflake packets on your back, if you know what I mean, boxes. And then you had to hold a mic, if I remember right, and that was about it. And you had to press a switch, obviously, it weren't on all the time when you transmitted, but I don't remember an awful lot about that. And then, of course, you had to learn... one particular thing I always remember, you had to learn the procedure on the wireless, what do they call it? Wilco means will comply. And then what was the other one? Will comply. Roger means you'll do it, that was it. And one thing they did drum into us, the word we should never use, which I always remembered, was repeat. We must never use the word repeat.
Why not?
Do you know why? No. Don't you know? Golly, I'd have thought you'd have known that. No disrespect to you. You never use the word repeat because once the artillery get on a target, they use the word repeat. That is why the signals never use it. I don't believe you don't know that. Still, it's one of those things, isn't it?
What about the procedure generally on the wireless? Was there a set way of having a conversation?
You had to announce who you were, and then they had to reply who they were. So, in other words, you had to establish who you was talking to. You know, that's basic, but it had to be done. Even if you knew the voice, you still had to sort of go through the proper procedure. There was a procedure for establishing the contact, definitely. But I can't, you know, you just announced who you were. But whether I'm sure we used different words, like coded words, but I can't remember. But there was a set, there's a set procedure, definitely. It's got to be.
And what about training in telephones, telephone switchboards and laying wires, you know?
We never had any switchboard training. But we had training in laying wiring and also knotting two wires together and things like that. We had all that training.
Now, how did you do? How did you lay the lines in those days?
Well, you just laid a line along the ground. or up and over a road or whatever. But you tried to disguise it as much as you could, obviously, but it was just a matter of laying a line from A to B, making sure it wouldn't get obstructed if you could. But we had all that, but that was just straightforward. There wasn't no problem there. Because if you wanted, I mean, obviously, if you wanted to be sure of communication, you've got to have the lines, because you couldn't rely on the wireless 100%. You couldn't rely on the wirelesses, because, I mean, if a hill got in the way, that'd stop it, or partly stop it, you know what I mean? It was very basic, really. In our days, it was very basic. When you think of today's technology, it was way, way behind the times. I mean, it's unbelievable that you can go the other side of the world with that, isn't it? With a pretty spectacle case. I mean, it's just don't bear thinking about.
And so that's what you spent most of your time at Dover doing, I presume?
Yeah.
Oh, how
yeah.
did you settle down into the new, you know, the signal section? Who was it? Were any characters in it, you know?
Well, there was Ginger, obviously. I knew Ginger.
This is Ginger Nutter.
Yeah, Ginger Nutter,
Now, what did you think of him then? I know you still know him now, but what was he like then?
He was just a nice bloke, an extrovert.
What do you mean by extrovert? How did he show
up? Well, outgoing character. You know, he'd speak to you. Not opposite to an introvert, obviously. He would speak to you and then have a laugh with you. The only real incident I remember when we were doing that training, there was a chap called Sid Hart, we used to call him. He come from Bedford, which was...
Sid Hart,
which is near where I come from. Yeah, you know, he lived not far from me. But I didn't know him, not before. And I always remember he got 3 days jankers. This is the one thing I remember about it. He got 3 days jankers. And we all got issue. I remember we all got issue with 303s. You know, blooming things were rusty and old as the hills. And Sid, on an inspection, Sid got 3 days jankers. And when he went out the last night, he was in battle order. And somebody, we were all laying on our beds. I can see it now. We were all laying on our beds. Somebody said to Sid, "You've got your belt on upside down." And he'd got his belt on upside down, battle order. Don't ask me how he did it, but he did. I ain't got time to change it, they won't see it. We were all laying on our beds laughing, off he went. And when he came back, of course he'd got 4 more days jankers. And I always remember that was a great, that was the one thing I always remember there. Poor old Sid got 4. And I remember running up and down Shakespeare Cliffs, the other side of Dover. I remember doing that on our PT training.
Tell me about PT training then.
Well, we had the normal PT training, press ups and running and all that, but I found that easy because I played football and cricket. I found that easy. Oh, that was another thing. We had a sports day there, and I ran in the 400 metres. I think I was second. And then I ran in the 800 metres, and I said to my mates, "This is the one," and I won it easy, the 800 metres. So I won the 800 metres. That was it. I'm running. So it was short running, I wasn't bad. I'd done nearly 17 feet when I was 14 in the long jump.
So you enjoyed the sports?
I enjoyed the sports. That was right out of my alley. Yeah, it was right out of my alley.
Did you join the boxing?
No boxing then, no. No, I like sport, still do.
Anything else at Dover, you know?
Well, obviously the fact that we could see the ferries, which was quite, you know, it was like another world really, because I'd never been away from home any an odd night. It was just like another world. We could see the ferries and we could see France. On a clear day, we could see France. And it's just unbelievable.
Then they went to Crowborough camp, I
think. Well, yeah, the only other... Well, I was just going to say, how we found out that we were going to go to Korea. We were at Dover Castle. And there was about 3 of us. Of course, being 19-year-olds, we said to our Sergeant Roach, he said, we were walking along and we met him coming the other way, and we said to him, "We want a volunteer for Korea." And he said, "You need volunteer, the regiment's going." That is how we found out we were going. Sort of casual, just like that.
And how did you feel? I mean, you wanted to volunteer.
To volunteer anyway, but...
Now, why do you want to volunteer?
Well, you know what you like at 19, you're just stupid, aren't you, really? But, I mean, we were mates together, and I felt it was just a waste of time mucking about.
Now, who was your signal sergeant, your signal officer?
Sergeant Roach, or was it? Can't remember now. Yeah, I got it wrong. I don't think Roach was the one at Colchester. I think Roach was our signal sergeant. I got it wrong when I said it was Roach at Colchester. It wasn't. He was our signal sergeant in the regiment at Dover.
And he was good?
Oh, nice chap. Yeah, he was like a father to us. Ever such a nice bloke.
And he was the one who trained you?
Him and there was three corporals, and one was Corporal Roberts. He was the main one, because I always remember him describing the atom bomb, protons and whatever, and we ain't got a bloody clue what he was talking about. But he was the clever one. And there was another sergeant, another corporal, I forget his name, but I had dealings with him later in career. I'll tell you about that later on.
And what about the NCO? The officers, what were they like?
Well, the signal
officer, yeah.
Yeah, he was all right. Oh, Captain Emsden, E-M-D-S-E-N. He was a nice bloke. He was a bit of the old school toy, he was.
Yeah. In what way? How did it show itself?
Well, he was a tall fella, bent forwards, and he spoke rather posh, you know. And he was just a nice bloke.
Did he know his signals?
No, but he didn't. The old Sergeant Harris. Corporal Harris was the one who knew how to bloody take a water set to put it together. I think his name was Harris. Can't quite remember.
So you didn't think much of it, although he was signals officer, you didn't think he knew his...
No, he was just a figurehead, that's all he was. I don't think he knew much about radios, but I'm sure he didn't.
Was he a good... I mean, he's a nice man, you said, but was he a good officer?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he treated us all right, yeah. You didn't see a lot of him.
Major Crampton?
No, I never met him at Dover, though he was obviously at Dover because he was headquarter company major. I never met him until I went to Crowborough. Now, why he picked me to be a signaller, I'll never know, but he did.
Tell me about this move to Crowborough then. That would be about June, was it?
That we were 3 months at Dover Castle. That would be earlier than June. That would be January, February, March. About April time, because I played cricket for the regiment.
And what was it like at Crowborough? What was that?
Crowborough was still there. The barracks are still there. So I asked somebody, and they were Nissan Huts and portable sort type of buildings. When I got there, of course, we all had our jabs, you know, the normal jabs you have before you go abroad.
And tell me about those jabs. What effect did they have on you?
Made us sick in buckets. We all got buckets and we was all sick. We had Thai food. I know we had Thai food. And I don't know what Thai food was. I don't know what other ones we had. Thai food, is it? Yeah.
And did it make your arms swell up?
Yeah, it did, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't very nice for a couple of days. But the thing was, when I got there, I didn't do any signal training at all. I started training to drive Bren gun carriers.
Now tell me about that.
Which I found amazing, because if you remember, I was on about the Bren gun carrier during the war. Remember me mentioning it? There I was learning to drive Bren gun carriers.
Now tell me how they taught you to drive a Bren gun. Can you describe how you...
Well, they...
Because people don't know what a Bren gun carrier is.
Well, say the Bren gun carrier is a track vehicle with an open top them days. And it had two sticks, and you steered it by the two sticks. But the amazing thing about it was, that was 1951, it had an automatic gearbox, which of course I'd never heard of. I've never been much for mechanics, but that must have been one of the first vehicles with an automatic gearbox.
What was it like to drive?
Well, it was brilliant. I mean, you just guided it with your feet and guided it with your hands and with your feet, and we went in the actual Ashdown Forest. But in actual fact, we didn't do an awful lot of driving. But I remember one particular time, we was going along the road and somebody was driving it, and it went up the gears, because it was automatic, it went up the gears, and I was at the back and I thought, he's going a bit fast. And we got down the bottom of this incline, finished up in a ditch with the track off. And that was a bit frightening. But that was it. Well, I spent a lot of days doing nothing, quite frankly.
Now, I thought it was at Crowborough you were appointed as Major Kempston's signaller.
That is when I became his signaller.
Now, tell me what that meant. Why did he pick you? What was the job as his signaller?
Well, I was it meant that I was in his jeep. Obviously, whenever the regiment went out, I was in his jeep, and I was his signaller, his contact with the companies.
So you'd have your set in the jeep?
I had one on my back. I had it on my back, yeah. I had it on my back, big set on my back.
And what did you think of Major Crampton?
Oh, he was a gentleman, Major Crampton.
Crampton, yeah.
C-R-A-M-P-T-O-N. Incidentally, I'm sorry to go back, my family knew Major Oliver. He come from Bedford. The actual bloke in charge of the regiment, Oliver, he came from Bedfordshire, and my family knew of him. Yeah, Oliver.
What did you think of Oliver yourself? I mean, he was a colonel then, wasn't he?
He was a colonel, yeah. You never saw him. Very rarely, anyway. But he did come from Bedford, I know, Bedfordshire. But you never saw him. But basically, another thing I remember about Clover is that we used to go home on weekend leave, and we'd get a train, get to Tunbridge Wells about 4 o'clock in the morning, walk to Clover, I'd get there at 6, and be on parade at 7. Now, that's another thing I really remember about
Clover. What would you do on weekend leave, though? Tell us what you do.
Went home to my pub with my mum and dad, because we went home every weekend we could, because we knew we were going abroad.
And you'd spend the weekend in the pub?
In the pub, I would, yeah. Because that was that's where I'd been brought up, that was my life. Because by then I was 19, you see, I could drink if I wanted. Well, I've never been a big drinker.
So, what about the cricket? You said you played cricket for the regiment.
Tell me about it.
We're quite interested in regimental sports. How was the cricket organised and what standard was it?
I only played one match, and it was against Sussex, believe it or not, second 11. They thrashed us, but we had a good day.
What were you, batsman, bowler?
I was opening batsman. I was always opening batsman in the village cricket team. I got quite a few 50s in my time. Yeah, I was opening batsman in the village cricket team as a youngster.
And were you out for the regiment?
I've opened for the regiment, yeah, I didn't get many runs. But I'll tell you what, another chap who played was David Bone. Now, he was a intelligence officer. He lives at Stanbridge, just up the road here. Yeah, he was headmaster at Dunstable. And I used to play drafts with him at Career. He'd be a good bloke to interview, I'll tell you. He was the intelligence officer. So we only played the one match.
It was all ranks, was it?
All ranks,
obviously.
Yeah. It was just who could play cricket, really. But they were a bit fast.
Did you train for it? I mean, did you have nets?
Just wanted a game and had a game, full stop. That's what really, we didn't do much good. But it was it was dumb, wasn't it? You know what I mean? That I enjoyed it.
Anything else, Matt? You were there until the end of August, I think.
It's got it in my letter here when we left for... Sailed Thursday the 30th of August, 51. Right? I've got a postcard here, a picture of HMT Empire Orwell, which was a German ship during the war, commandeered. And on the back it's got to Mother... From your loving son, Malcolm. Sailed Thursday. Sailed from England, Thursday, 30th of 8, 51, for Korea.
There's
another thing I've got to mention. When I sailed, I was down the bottom of the boat on guard, believe it or not.
Well, tell us what the accommodation was like on the boat.
Can I just mention something else? Something else has come to mind. That has brought another memory back. That always happened to me, and I could never understand, well, I could understand it. When it came to doing guard duty, because my name was Barker, and my name began with a B, you could bet that every time the regiment moved, and there was guard duty come up, they would start with the A's and B's, and I'd be on blooming guard again. And the same happened when I got on the boat to go to Career. The W's hardly ever got a guard. I could never understand.
So what were you doing on the boat guarding anyway?
Just guarding all the equipment down the bottom of the boat. Don't ask me why, but I was just there.
What were the mess decks like?
They were just big with ordinary metal tables which flew about if the old ship rolled a bit.
Was it crowded?
Packed out, yeah. And we had bunks. We slept in bunks on top of each other. And the food was all right. Yeah, there was no problem there. We used to have films. We used to play a lot of tombola during the night. Of course, we had a lot of training, again. We used to fire off the ship and fire our weapons off the ship. And then, believe it or not...
Was that the only training you had, or was it...?
Yeah, we had some signal training, first bit of first aid. And then I had a record played in the BBC for me. That was...
How did that? Tell me how it happened.
Well, my twin sister arranged it, and it was Victor Silvestro, I think it was. Or was it... I'm not sure it was Victor Silvestro. I think it was, and the song was Too Young. That was a popular song then.
And what programme was it played on?
I think it was Victor Silvestro. Well, I could ask my sister to check it out. So I think it was him, yeah. He used to play requests.
But did you actually hear it?
No, I didn't hear it, no. But my sister heard it.
It was played in your honour, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, more or less, yeah. And then I realised also when I got on the boat, started weapon training, that I hadn't got an eye shield to cover me eye. And I had to write home for mum to send me an eye shield because I couldn't find my rifle without it. But later on, when I told the major, he changed me to a Sten gun.
You said you did some boxing on the Empire Orwell.
Oh, yeah, I volunteered for the boxing. No, it was novices. Never forget it, as long as I live. Anyway, I won my first three fights, quite easy.
What was it like? Tell us a bit more about it.
Well, they got the weights like they do, and then I sort of won my first three fights, had my corporal as my second, and I could let him hit me in the face, and it didn't take any effect. He said, what are you letting him do that for? Well, I said, that'll wear him out, and I won my first three fights quite easy, because I knew a bit about straight left, because I'd done it as a youth. And anyway, when it come to the finals night, and there's all the officers there, and the usual thing, and the old band was playing and what have you, and I had to fight this particular bloke. Well, I ain't hardly gone half a blooming second, and he got one of my arms behind me back, and I thought to myself, well, you're no novice, you seem to know what you're doing. And he gave me a hell of an hiding. And in the second round, I had to pack up with a big bleeding nose. And the thing was, I went down in my bunk, this nose was bleeding like anything, nobody could have cared less. I couldn't stop it, I just had to lay there. And somebody said to me later on, did you get your pen for being runner-up? I said no, and I never did have my runners-up prize. And I got a real good hiding. And I know I'm jumping forward, but when we was in Korea, sort of towards the end, they decided to have interregimental boxing. Now,
I will come back to that, don't worry, I won't forget.
Well, all right. Now, right.
Anything else about the voyage? Because it was a long voyage. You were out for a month.
We went through the Bay of Biscay, and that was a bit rough.
Were you seasick at all?
I can't remember being seasick, but a lot were. Yeah, that was very rough going through the Bay of Biscay. Then, of course, we saw Gibraltar, which was a bit awe-inspiring. And then we went through the Med, and I always remember seeing the old horses and carts and the camels and that. We quite near the coast at times. Then we stopped at Alexandria. Is it? Yeah, Port Alexandria. And we went walking there and we got stoned. I remember that. We got stoned on our walk through
the Med.
Tell me
a bit about that. What exactly happened?
Well, people just threw stones at us. So we decided to go back to the ship. They just jeered at us. They just didn't want to know us.
Egyptian civilians.
Egyptians, yeah. Now, remember the old bum boats, as they used to call them. I actually bought a leather wallet off a bum boat, and it lasted me years and years. It had an Egyptian thing on it. That lasted years. And that was Alexandria. Then we went through the Red Sea, and that was absolutely boiling. We used to lay on our bank, start naked, sweating. Oh, that was terrible. Then we got...
I mean, you wouldn't be used to that at all.
Oh, no, it was in the 90s and the 100s. It was... Just couldn't handle it. And then I went... Then we stopped at Aden, and we went swimming there. That was brilliant, but that was very, very hot again, Aden. And I remember on a ship, it may sound funny this day and age, somebody gave me the book Lady Chatterley's Lover, and I actually read it on my bunk, but I had to hide... While I was reading it, I had to hide the book under the sheets. That was, of course, the 1951. that was before the great case comes before the courts, obviously, because it was pornographic.
Was it banned then?
It was banned, yeah, it was banned, but it was on the boat. You know what soldiers are like. It was on the boat, and I read it.